Hey, podcast listener, it's your host Zim here. Just wanted to say thank you to everyone who is helping this podcast keep growing and keep expanding. Couldn't do it without you guys. Wanted to let you know how appreciative I am of each and every one of your downloads and views. So thank you, and I hope we can keep growing this channel together. So just wanted to give you that quick little thank you on the podcast version of our reviews. So anyways, not going to keep you waiting any longer. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Zim's Beer Review. I'm your host, Garrett Zimmer. Thanks for tuning in. However you may be tuning in, whether you're on YouTube, live stream, on Twitch, or if you're following wherever podcasts are found, thanks for tuning in for another episode. Today's episode is number 28. We have a pretty interesting beer from a very old brewery. This is a beer that I've seen around, but I've never actually had the chance to try. We are reviewing a beer from Grolsch Brewery. Grolsch is a brewery from the Netherlands. I'm going to give you a lot of history on them. They have old history and recent history, which is kind of cool. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't pick this beer because of how awesome the bottle looks. It has this flip cap style lid on it. I don't know if you're watching on YouTube live stream. If you're listening to the audio only version of this podcast, I encourage you to Google Grolsch. I'm going to put a picture of this bottle up on my Instagram. So if you want to take a look at it there, you can see it at Zim's Beer Review. Really cool cap. It's a resealable cap, which is kind of cool. These ones are made of plastic now because everything's made of plastic. But originally, these were actually made of porcelain, and they were meant to be reused, which was really cool. So we don't get to use our bottle opener today, even though we have a bottle. How nuts. Okay, so we'll be doing a review of Grolsch Premium Lager. This is Grolsch's like flagship beer. They do have multiple beers, which I'll go over in a little bit, but this is definitely their flagship. This is what they're known for. This is what they export the most. This is what gets sold the most in the United States from this brewer. Definitely their most popular beer. So that's kind of the reason I wanted to do this, and the bottle looked awesome. I just had to give it a try. So we'll be reviewing Grolsch Premium Lager. Let's go ahead and open this up. It's a little bit different. I'm going to see if I can rip the sticker off, and should pop right out. Whoa, that was awesome. There's some pressure behind that. That was really cool. These flip caps are super awesome for homebrewers. Homebrewers love these types of bottles and these caps, because if you're a homebrewer and you like to bottle your beer, you need a way to cap your beer when you want to carbonate it. So you put it into a bottle and you have caps, like aluminum caps, with the stamp cap press that you can use. They have to sit in their bottles for like a week or two to carbonate. But if you have these resealable caps, it's way faster. It looks cool. It's like a staple of home brewing to use these. So homebrewers love these things. As soon as I poured it out, really golden color, and I got a lot of skunky flavor or scent off of this, which I expect because it's a green bottle. I've went over this before in previous episodes. Something about the green bottle, I don't know what it is. It's just skunky. There's a couple other beers that have this skunkiness to them, and they all seem to be in a green bottle. Heineken is this way. Stella Artois is this way. Dos Equis is this way. And now Grolsch, also in a green bottle, it's also this way. And I have to say, or I want to say it's got to be because of the green. That's the only thing I can think, because I'll give you a little backstory on Grolsch here before we even try this to support my claim of the skunkiness. Grolsch used to be in a brown bottle for hundreds of years. Grolsch was in a brown bottle, and they changed within the last, I want to say 10 to 15 years, they changed to a green bottle, and it's skunky now. I obviously did not have it 10 to 15 years ago. I never had it with the brown bottle. But it's in a green bottle now, and it's skunky. I gotta say there's a connection there. I thought there was. I still think there is. We're going to set that up there. Oh, you can't really see it. We'll put it back here so you can see that cool bottle. So go ahead and give this a try. I'm expecting something similar to like Stella Artois. That's what I'm thinking. It does taste a lot like Stella. This tastes like a side-by-side taste test. This and Stella, I would say it'd be a really cool battle of the beers, but it might be a really boring battle of the beers because it's going to be so similar. This tastes exactly like Stella Artois. It's really crisp. It has that skunky flavor. Really clear. Has a little bit of hops in it. But that skunkiness is up front in your nose. You smell it. You taste it with every drink. That's not to say it's a bad thing. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Just because a beer is skunky does not mean it is bad. The word skunky definitely sounds like a negative descriptor, but it's not. It's a style. I don't know if it's intended or if it's because of the green bottle, but it is not a deterrent. Some people will say that it can be a deterrent. One of my buddies that I work with named Brad, he hates skunky beers, but you could just hate sour beers and it would be the same thing. You're not hating it because it's skunky and that everyone doesn't like it. It's just not for everybody. It is definitely a style of beer. I personally enjoy it. Stella Artois is actually one of my favorite beers. Really drinkable. This is the same way. Goes down really easy. Really light. The alcohol content on this premium lager is 5%, which has been for hundreds of years. They've kept the same alcohol by volume. I like it. It's really crisp. I feel like I should be drinking this out of a Stella glass, not this little taste tester that we use. But yeah, like I said, if you gave me this glass and didn't tell me what it was, say a mystery brew, I would 100% think I nailed it with Stella Artois. I would bet $1 million that I'm drinking Stella. That's how confident I would be, and I'd be wrong because it is not Stella, but it tastes exactly like it. Very similar in flavor. I don't know how old Stella is, how long Stella's been around. I'd like to actually maybe do some of that research to see the comparison between Stella and the Grolsch Brewery to see similarities or what, because they're very similar beers. Excuse me. So a little bit of backstory on Grolsch Brewery. So Grolsch, I hope I'm saying that correctly. It looks like Grolsch, but it's from the Netherlands. So I don't speak Dutch. Maybe they pronounce it differently. And little warning here. There's a couple city names that I'm about to say, and forgive me for butchering the names. I'm going to do my best. I don't know. I'm an American speaking. I'm an American trying to read foreign city names, so I'll do my best. But I wanted to give you a little bit of backstory on Grolsch Brewery to kind of let you know. So Grolsch Brewery was started in the Netherlands, and get this, 1615. They have been around for over 400 years now. That is insane. That just goes to show how young the United States is. This brewery is older than our country. That's crazy. So Grolsch was started in the town. Here's where I'm going to start butchering them. It was started in the town of Groenlo. And back then, when it was started in 1615, it was not known as Groenlo. It was known as Grolle, I think. Now, Grolsch means of Grolle. So this beer is of that city. It's made there. So that's where the name Grolsch came from, was because it was made in that city. So they've kept the name, even though it's not made in that city any longer. It's still Grolsch Brewery. So we're going to skip ahead. There's a lot of backstory and a lot of things happened, but I cannot go over 400 years of history. So I kind of wanted to just jump to the new stuff and the modern day Grolsch. So in 2006, Grolsch was the second largest brewer in the Netherlands behind Heineken, which is almost unfair because Heineken is huge. So that just kind of goes to show Grolsch was very big. I don't know how many breweries or brewers there are in the Netherlands. So maybe it's very easy to be second place behind Heineken. Maybe it's very difficult to be second place. I don't know. But in 2006, they were the second largest brewer in the Netherlands behind Heineken. And then in 2007, they were sold to, and I might be saying this wrong too, they were sold to Saab Miller. It's a company. They were sold to Saab Miller for over 816 million euros. I did the conversion on that, and that equals almost exactly 1 billion US dollars. So they were bought in 2007 by Saab Miller for $1 billion. Now here's where it gets crazy, and this kind of leads away from Grolsch, but it was insane amounts of money changing hands, and I felt like I had to cover it because it just was so like jaw-dropping to me when I'm learning about this. So Saab Miller, the people who bought them in 2007, they were later purchased by none other than Anheuser-Busch. Go figure. At the time of that merger, Saab Miller and Anheuser-Busch were the two largest breweries in the world. I shouldn't say breweries. I guess I'll say brewer. They don't actually brew the beer. They just own the companies that brew the beer. So they were it was a merger of the two largest brewers. That deal was worth over $100 billion. Now, during that purchase, this is where I said it doesn't actually have a lot to do with Grolsch, was because when Anheuser-Busch bought Saab Miller, or is it S-A-B Miller? I don't know. I'm going to keep saying Saab Miller. Someone will correct me. When they purchased them, they chose not to purchase Grolsch. Now, they chose not to purchase a couple other breweries too, one of which, if I remember right, was Peroni, the Italian beer manufacturer. If you've seen their beers, they make lagers as well. But anyways, they chose not to buy Grolsch, and then Grolsch was then purchased by Asahi Group. Now, Asahi Group is a Japanese company, so now Grolsch, a company that originally started in the Netherlands, was purchased by an American company, bought by a different American company, but then not bought by them, and then bought by a Japanese company, means that this Netherlands beer is owned by a Japanese company. It's crazy how these breweries work. People buying up other people and who owns who. I mean, you look at how big Anheuser-Busch is, it's insane. It's almost like a monopoly. The amount of breweries and brewers that they own, it is like, it's insane. They own everybody. Anyway, so more about Grolsch, a little more detailed information on them. Grolsch is available in over 70 countries, so they are widely available when you think there's only really 200-ish countries at any given time in the world. A lot of those are not going to be importing and exporting things. 70 countries is a lot of countries to be available in. Now, the majority of their sales do come from the United States, Australia, and a couple European countries, but they do distribute to over 70. They brew 16 beers at Grolsch Brewery, but the majority of those are actually just specialty beers and one-offs brews that they do. So of the 16, really, there's only about four flagships that they have. The main one of those being the premium lager that we are reviewing today. In 2007, Grolsch unveiled what they called the new bottle. They unveiled the new bottle, which is what we're drinking out of today, actually. It sounds like they changed from the brown bottle to the green bottle in 2007. They've always had the flip top cap like they have on this. They decided to keep it, which was an obvious choice. I don't think there was much pushback on that. It's kind of it's what they're known by, having this flip top cap, and it worked. It's the reason I bought it. I'll buy it again because it tastes good, but the flip top cap is a super cool thing, and like I said, the home brewers love it. So They switched bottle colors. They also increased the size by about 10% by volume. And so, yeah, anyways, that happened in 2007. Since then, they think they've actually dropped the size back down to where it originally was. So they took that 10% away. So that was only there for a couple years. But like I said, the flip top cap, very popular with homebrewers for the reasons that I stated earlier. But yeah, so that kind of gives you a little bit of backstory about Grolsch. They're a very large brewery. They make very few beers very well, I should say. And I don't mean that they make other things bad. I just mean they don't make a ton of beers. But what they do make is good. This one is the first Grolsch beer that I've ever had. I thoroughly enjoy it, but I'm a fan of Stella. If you have had Stella Artois, which in my mind is much more popular, much more well known, if you've had Stella before, I think you will not even know the difference between this Grolsch and a Stella. They're that similar. So if that's something that you're interested in, if you like the bottle and you want to get some of the bottles and you like Stella, buy this one instead. I'd point you in that direction. I'm going to try to find some more Grolsch beers to try. They have an amber that I would like to try. I don't know how available I can get them here in a relatively small town in Wyoming, but I will do my best. So who knows, maybe we'll get one on an upcoming episode. So yeah, overall, a really cool brewery with a lot of history, including some purchases and sales, and it's quite the story that Grolsch Brewery has. So thank you guys. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Zim's Beer Review. I will be back later this week with another episode. So thank you. And until next time, happy drinking.